At the time that the war was declared, and because all of the American states are warlike people states, this isn't an issue, but it could have been. What if the state of Louisiana said, we're not going to let you call our National Guard up into your war, Mr. Bush? It's our guard. Iraq is not threatening us. You haven't declared war. So, no, you cannot call up the guard that's at Fort Polk. You can't call up the guard that's across the river in Belchase, the Air Force, part of the Air National Guard. You can't call any of our guard up. We're not going to let them. Now, ponder that for a moment and then think what a different world the Middle East would be today. Heck, what a different world the rest of Europe would be today without America meddling and being called into every conflict.
Wow. The first thing about Ralph Peters is that his number one goal in life is to sell more books. Number two is if the National Guard, per se, or the guard of each of the states was unable to be called up, the way that the U.S. Army is set up is that the active army has mostly combat arms, combat support, and some combat service support units.
Right.
Combat service support units are needed for long-term sustainment engagements. Now, the U.S. Army Reserve, back in 1994, Major General Bratz made a deal with, I think it was General Schultz, in the Chief of the National Guard, and the active army. They came up with a plan to divide up the Guard and Reserve units in an organized manner such that the National Guard would have all of the combat units, the infantry, the artillery, the armor guys, all those types of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Army Reserve would manage and control the combat support and the combat service support units. So these would be like depot maintenance. They would have the military intelligence, the adjutant general, all those other types of units that do the support for the combat guys, the guys who are actually in war. And they started to divide up the units that way. If you take out the Army, the National Guard component from this, then you completely remove the people that are coming in for the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th rotation.
Right, right.
And the active army cannot support this type of a sustained engagement. It just doesn't have the people to do that. And even with small attrition rates that we have right now, there's no way to rotate people in and out of country. You would have to set up a permanent active army presence in country in order to continue to run operations, because the additional infantry guys, the tankers, and all these other guys are not going to be there. And for the most part now, it's mostly the infantry guys that are doing these types of things. The military police is considered a combat support branch in the Army. So that would come out of the Army Reserve.
Okay.
So you could maintain a high level of military police, which would be helpful. However, they don't have the infantry perspective on how to go out, conduct patrols, reconnaissance. They're not taught how to do the sting operations, per se. You know, the engagements where you go out and you pick up the bad guys. They don't do that stuff. They do security support. So you're going to have a big learning curve if you try to use those guys for something else, and technically you can't. And that goes back to some of the Geneva Convention stuff, too. You can't use certain types of people in certain types of engagements. So
what you're saying is that without being able to call up at the ready National Guard troops and ship them off to Iraq and Afghanistan and every other Hades forsaken place on earth, the American Army would not be able to police the rest the entire planet. We don't have the manpower.
We got troops, and right now we got troops. I think last count I saw was 82 countries, and that's not including embassies or consulates,
where
you have standardized you know, diplomatic relations.
Amir dropping a bucket, Mitter Carpenter. I mean, come on. I bet the Russians are in 182 countries. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're not.